சகனோ புனக்து சக வீரியம் கரவாவஹை தேஜஸ்வினாவதீதமஸ்து மா விஷாவஹை. ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. சத்வம் சுகே சஞ்சயதி, சத்வம் சுகே சஞ்சயதி ரஜக்கர்மணி பாரத, ரஜக்கர்மணி பாரத ஞானமாவ்ருத்யது தமஹ, ஞானமாவ்ருத்யது தமஹ ப்ரமாதே சஞ்சயத்யுத, ப்ரமாதே சஞ்சயத்யுத சத்வம் சுகே சஞ்சயதி ரஜக்கர்மணி பாரத ஞானமாவ்ருத்யது தமஹ ப்ரமாதே சஞ்சயத்யுத ரஜஸ்தமஶ்சாபிபூய, ரஜஸ்தமஶ்சாபிபூய சத்வம் பவதி பாரத, சத்வம் பவதி பாரத ரஜஸ்தத்வம் தமஶ்சைவ, ரஜஸ்தத்வம் தமஶ்சைவ தமஸ்தத்வம் ரஜஸ்ததா, தமஸ்தத்வம் ரஜஸ்ததா ரஜஸ்தமஶ்சாபிபூய சத்வம் பவதி பாரத ரஜஸ்தத்வம் தமஶ்சைவ தமஸ்தத்வம் ரஜஸ்ததா. சர்வத்வாரேஷு தேஹேஸ்மின், சர்வத்வாரேஷு தேஹேஸ்மின் ப்ரகாஷ உபஜாயதே, ப்ரகாஷ உபஜாயதே ஞானம் யதா ததா வித்யாத், ஞானம் யதா ததா வித்யாத் விவ்ருத்தம் சத்வமித்யுத, விவ்ருத்தம் சத்வமித்யுத சர்வத்வாரேஷு தேஹேஸ்மின் ப்ரகாஷ உபஜாயதே ஞானம் யதா ததா வித்யா விவ்ருத்தம் சத்வமித்யுத. லோப ப்ரவ்ருதிராரம்பஹ, லோப ப்ரவ்ருதிராரம்பஹ கர்மணாமசமஸ்ப்ருஹா, கர்மணாமசமஸ்ப்ருஹா ரஜஸ்ஏதானி ஜாயந்தே, ரஜஸ்ஏதானி ஜாயந்தே விவ்ருத்தே பரதர்ஷப, விவ்ருத்தே பரதர்ஷப லோப ப்ரவ்ருதிராரம்பஹ கர்மணாமசமஸ்ப்ருஹா ரஜஸ்ஏதானி ஜாயந்தே விவ்ருத்தே பரதர்ஷப. அப்ரகாஷோ ப்ரவ்ருத்திஷ்ச, அப்ரகாஷோ ப்ரவ்ருத்திஷ்ச ப்ரமாதோ மோஹ ஏவச, ப்ரமாதோ மோஹ ஏவச தமஸ்யேதானி ஜாயந்தே, தமஸ்யேதானி ஜாயந்தே விவ்ருத்தே குரு நந்தன, விவ்ருத்தே குரு நந்தன அப்ரகாஷோ ப்ரவ்ருத்திஷ்ச ப்ரமாதோ மோஹ ஏவச தமஸ்யேதானி ஜாயந்தே விவ்ருத்தே குரு நந்தன.
Offers to teach this knowledge which he calls as the supreme knowledge, the best of knowledges, knowing which all the sages have attained ultimate perfection and even they will not be born again and again. So even by gaining this knowledge, ultimate perfection is what one can attain. One can go beyond the vasanas and attain the perfection within. And then he goes on to talk about the Brahman and Prakriti coming together in this universe. All of us are a combination of Supreme Spirit and the Prakriti. And Prakriti is made up of three gunas: Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So he says, from verse number 5 he starts talking about this. He says, in 5 he says, Sattva, Rajas, Tamas, these gunas, qualities born of Prakriti, matter bind the indestructible embodied to the body,
O Mahabhava.
It binds the indestructible embodied, meaning as though binds. Tattva Vrata Samas cannot strictly bind, it as though binds. Due to our ignorance, the Sattva, Rajas and Tamas are binding us. The moment we gain the knowledge, we can come out of that apparent bondage. And then he goes on to describe about Sattva, Rajas and Tamas, the nature of Sattva, the nature of Rajas, the nature of Tamas, and how they bind you. So he says, of these Sattva being stainless. What is Sattva? Sattva is when you remove the Rajas and Tamas, the Sattva intensifies in you. So the lack of Tamas and Rajas intensifies Sattva. The calm, serene, composed nature of the mind. So Sattva being stainless is luminous. Luminous means bright. It is clarity of thought that he's talking about. And healthy. That which is helpful to reach the supreme health, which is Atma. It binds through attachment to knowledge and happiness. Attachment to happiness, sukha sangena, and then jnana sangena vatnati. It binds through attachment to sukha and attachment to knowledge. In other words, a sattvic person is not interested in the immediate pleasures. He is interested in the ultimate happiness. So he has the clarity to see what is good for him. So a sattvic person is attached to inherent goodness. And then he says, Rajo Ragatmakam Vidhi. Understand that Rajas is passionate, greedy, restless, the source of thirst. It binds past Akantaya, the embodied through attachment to action. He is restlessly tied to activity. The mind is so disturbed that he needs to physically run around. That is typical quality of Rajas. So, he says Rajasic person is attached to action, karma. Action and its results. Then, Tamasic fellow. This, no tamas to be born of ignorance, the deluder of all embodied. It binds fast through heedlessness, indolence, and sleep. So, Bharata, Arjuna, tamas is of the nature of sloth, indolence, sleep, heedless to the consequence. And it binds an individual to inertness. An individual has no wisdom, but after constantly eating, he knows everything. And then he gives himself to inactivity, absolutely no purpose, senselessly lives. A sattvic person's purpose is to get back to the highest. A rajasic person's purpose is to amplify his wealth, his ego. Whereas a tamasic fellow has no higher goal, nothing. No purpose whatsoever. So he says, a tamasic person know that tamas to be born of ignorance. It's the typical expression of ignorance. Not knowing anything, maybe the tip of the iceberg they know, but they consider themselves to be knowing everything. It completely deludes the individual fully, blinds them. So, they couldn't bother actually, they don't know anything. But they wonder why you should ask such questions. If you ask them whether the chicken came first, or the egg came first, or the tree came first, or the seed came first, what is the purpose, where are we going, where are we coming from? Why are you bothered about all these things? Unnecessary. You are here, you see these senses. It appears, if you are tamasic, it appears very practical. What you are talking about? It appears what we are talking about as extremely philosophical and very not down to earth, you know. That is what they say. And they have senses there, enjoy, have fun. Unnecessarily you are questioning where are you coming from, where are you going, knowing that what are you going to do, you know. A total senseless world. Senseless world means there is no higher sense prevailing. See, they lead a very lower animalistic life. He's going to say later on that a person who lives like that, possibility is that he may be born in animal nature. Later on in the same chapter he's going to say. Even here they lead a very senseless life. Senseless life means senselessly indulging in the senses. In the case of animals, they function on instinct. In the case of a human being, there is an intellect. In their case, intellect is completely covered by avarana. Ignorance. Totally. This is go out for it and then indulge. Just indulge in the senses. So he says, it binds fast through heatlessness, indolence and sleep, sloth, laziness, inertness. That is tamas, O Bharata, O Arjuna. Now verse number 9. Sattvam suke sanjayati, sattvam suke sanjayati, rajakarmani bharata, rajakarmani bharata, jnanamavrityatu tamah, pramade sanjayatyuta, sattvam suke sanjayati, rajakarmani bharata, jnanamavrityatu tamah. Sattva attaches to happiness, rajas to action, O Bharata, while tamas indeed, having will, knowledge, attaches to heedlessness. It's kind of summarizing in this verse about all the three gunas, how they bind. A sattvic person is also bound to the world. He is bound to the world, he is looking for the higher realms in the world. He is interested in promoting the inner joy, inner happiness, inner peace, and within as well as without. That is it. But he is, if you are not careful, you can get involved in that level and stay put there, not rise above. You are definitely better safe than being in tamas and rajas. But if you are not careful, you can get stuck there. So therefore, he is trying to say that sattva is also binding. And then you have to have objectivity to sattva as well. Otherwise you are finished. So, whereas in the case of a rajasic person, they are stuck to action. Basically action means hoarding, aggrandizing, accumulating. Action to accumulate and swell. Transform the ego. So basically the egoistic attitude with egocentric desires. To fulfill their desires, they run around. And the more you fulfill desire, what happens? The more desire crops up. So they never happen. They're constantly controlled by greed and fear. Then tamasic persons, he says, having the tamas having veiled the knowledge. Everybody has the knowledge, but originally the self, it is completely covered, avarna. So he says, such a person, wisdom being shrouded, he is completely indifferent to what happens to him and to the things and beings around in the world. Totally indifferent. You got to understand the difference between indifference and detachment. In indifference, there is no emotion. In detachment there is emotions but controlled by the buddhi. Indifference you don't care what happens. You're not bothered. So that's what he's saying. Completely heedless to the consequence. And in fact his knowledge is so covered that he may come and justify what he's doing. So that is what he said so far. Let's see, 10. Rajas tamas chavibhuya, sattvam bhavati bharata, rajas sattvam tamas chaiva, rajas sattvam
samasyaiva tamasattvam rajasada samasattvam rajasada rajastamasyavibhuya sattvam bhavati bharata rajasattvam tamasyaiva tamasattvam rajasada.
Sattva arises predominating over rajas and tamas. Bharata and Rajas over Sattva and Tamas, even so Tamas over Sattva and Rajas.
In other words, what he is saying is, in Sam, Sattva predominates over Rajas and Tamas. They call it Sattva.
In Sam, Rajas predominates over Sattva and Tamas. They call it Rajasic. In Sam, Tamas predominates over Sattva and Rajas. They are called as Tamasic people.
These three varieties are there. In fact, based on these three only, the caste system is. Now, when he says Tamas completely shouts the wisdom and they are indifferent, heedless, something is happening to you, you are seeing the side effects manifesting either in the body or mentally or situated, whatever. A Tamasic person would not understand. Or even if somebody explains, you will not understand that everything is cause and effect. It's happening due to certain cause. He rather thinks it is due to some star. He waits for the
star location to change.
Jesus waits, things will become alright.
You know, you got to proactively do something about it. You can't wait. Are you with me? This is what he says. This is a very typical, and when tamas predominates, that person is called as tamasic.
All of us have sattva rajas tamas. Fermentation combination varies. Like for example, we have discussed before, coffee beans, decoction, milk and sugar. But in South India, in Chennai, if you go, decoction will be more. If you go to Gujarat, sugar will be more. Go to Punjab, milk will be more. But all three are coffee. But the permutation combination changes. So in a sattvic person also there is rajas and tamas.
So what you are supposed to do is intelligently use them, give them a direction. So therefore we say, you schedule your day accordingly.
To develop the sattva in you, increase it further, and also the time being conducive for the existing sattva to manifest better, right early, between 4 and 6. Supposed to be good for sattva. And that is why those who are interested in increasing their sattva, they rise in that time to do sadhana. And from that time onwards they continue sadhana. It's called Brahma Muhurta. And then from 6 to evening 6, from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. it is more conducive for rajas action. 6 p.m. till next day 4 a.m. is more conducive for rajas. So if you use
isn't this also part of the
stars
when you're beginning? Isn't this whole cycle also comes
through? In nature, that's what he's saying. In nature, there is sattva, rajas, tamas. You take it or you leave it, it's there. He's not saying this is superior, this is inferior. If you predominate in this is what happens. If you predominate in this is what happens. So now, if you want to increase this, then you understand how it's like this. In this class, each one is there. Let's say, I have a team. And in this team, somebody who is sattvic, somebody who is rajasic, somebody who is tamasic. And there is a purpose to be achieved. Now, understanding the nature, I delegate work accordingly and get the goal accomplished. Exactly like that, in nature, there is this. It's conducive. That time is more conducive. It doesn't mean that everybody who wakes up at that time will naturally become sattvic. In fact, the other sattvic person would be inclined and he will wake up naturally during the day. Similarly, a rajasic person will be more prone to action. Similarly, a tamasic person would choose the time. In fact, they become very active at that time. Even if you go to a very place where there are a lot of gambling centers, you will see slowly the crowd starts swelling after around 10, 11 in the night. So the early morning you go, even there it will be less. So therefore we say it is there in nature, you don't deny that. You use it for increasing the stock. Understand it is there. So you say if sattva predominates, you are suffering. In some cases sattva predominating over rajas and tamas. In some rajas predominates. In some tamas predominates. In fact it helps us the moment we understand what is predominating in me and I must put in effort to increase sattva and go beyond. And by understanding what is predominating in the other, I am able to relate in a better way. So that I increase my inner peace and external and harmony. I am able to relate better, to live and let live. And when I go to a zoo, I understand the nature, then I am able to deal with each and every animal accordingly. So he says, this is what is this world. So therefore from the sattvic, rajasic, tamasic. So tamasic person also can become sattvic, but there is a lot of effort involved. Now, if you see little tamas, how do you deal with it? In you, I mean. If you see little tamas in you, how do you deal with it?
You balance it with the other two, sattva and rajas. You see where you need to balance it. How you need to balance it?
Let's say there is a, you know, I'm just giving this an example. Let's say there is some power in that corner. And you see it, what do you do? Immediately take a jaru and clean. Otherwise, then you will forget. Then something will happen. Then after 5 days you see the tamas will become bigger and bigger. So the moment I become aware of my tamas, I should start dealing with it. Or tamas will start consolidating itself.
No, you said this evening that whatever the sleeping time, that is tamas. So that's why I said it should be balanced to the other two.
But that is true. When you see tamas in you, how do you deal with what my question was? If you see tamasic time, it's more confusing from tamasic. Then you accordingly balance your day. Like I have already said, I am not asking that. When you see certain tamasic thing in you, for example procrastination, you have a tendency to procrastinate. It's tamasic. That's why I gave you a cross example of seeing a combo, seeing little combo. You see that combo, what do you do? Many times what you do? We telling it, for a sense of bad. You leave it, right? Then what happens? By the time we forget it and something happens, and then after 10 days we see, it has become more. Then a time will come where maybe a convince yourself that I'm not accepting it. Then maybe there will come a time when you start justifying. That is also a design. Something I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It is also good. Sometimes it's not common, it becomes so much. Sometimes you start foolishly arguing. It happens. Somebody is trying to tell for your good. You can start, you are so much steeped in doubt. You can't even see it. See? The delusion is that. Like, they say some people cannot see after sundown, a particular disease, after sundown, night blindness, they can't see. So one fellow apparently was going in his car, and he had a night blindness. He saw a lorry coming in front, but he didn't see that lorry. So he said, instead of admitting that he cannot see properly, he's saying there are two motorbikes in distance. You know, some of these people, first thing is they are so blinded that they cannot admit it's that much blind when you are steeped in. So first thing, any little tamas you see, start injecting rajas.
started injecting action, rajas, strict action immediately.
Then slowly, maybe you clean this side, then you can see little more this side, then do that, keep on cleansing. So I was saying, many of my classes used to say, a Vedantin is a scavenger. See, it's a commitment that we have made ourselves to get to that ultimate perfection. Right? And in the meantime, many times we can fall. Because see, this is the biggest jihad, the greatest jihad, conquering your own self. Isn't it? And when you are trying to conquer your own self, many times you may falter, your mind may topple you. You can fall for greed, jealousy, anger, fear, lust. Many things can topple you. But you still have to continue with that commitment to rise above, not to stop. It is not that just because you started, things will start becoming fine. You will be constantly judged. You yourself will see. So, you got to continuously cleanse, being a scavenger. And it's a very, difficult thing. Because, like Swami Ramakrishna says, wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. Question of performing one. Next verse.
Sarvadvareshu Deheshmin. Sarvadvareshu Deheshmin. Prakasha upajayate. Jnanam yada tada vidya. Jnanam yada tada vidya. Vivrittam sattva mityuta, vivrittam sattya mityuta, sarvadvareshu deheshmin, prakasham upajayate, jnanam yada tada vidya, vivrittam sattva mityuta, sarvadvareshu deheshmin, prakasham upajayate.
Prakasha means light, clarity, wisdom, clarity. When clarity shines forth, arises, streams forth through the sarvadvara, means all gates of the body, personality.
The gate that is referring to here is the perception, action, emotions and thoughts. The body, mind, intellect.
These are the true gates through which the atma functions.
See, please understand this. What he is trying to say here on is, that when the yourself is original, shine. Its glory is, it's supreme, it's shining. But it's covered by avarna and vikshepa. Avarna means ignorance, vikshepa means mental agitations, driving due to the unfulfilled desires. When you remove the vikshepa, the rajas, and avarna, the tamas, what happens? You are discovering the shine. Rivti. So, in a person who has put in the effort through which he is conquered or is conquering the more of tamas and rajas, then what happens? There will be more and more clarity.
Like, you know, I see it funny. Suddenly, you start realizing, hey, all this while I didn't see, now you suddenly see. You know what ought to be done, what ought not to be done.
This is a big thing in life. What should I do? Arjuna asked the same question from the beginning, which is Shreya for me. Should I act or should I not act? Which field I should choose? It's constant. Ignorance is there. How to say what is important in life? Is it wealth or is it character? What are we choosing? How do we, go about? The clarity at the intellect level and control over emotions at the emotional level. Do you have emotions which are strong or do you have them as weakness? Like we are filled with attachment. That means it's weakness. Whereas if you have love, then your emotions are strong. So when he says sarva pareshu, then through all gates, if the clarity is shining, that means he has perfect control over his emotions. And his intellect is clear what is the purpose of life. What are my priorities? How do I live? What is important? What do I choose? And in action also, in perception also. At the level of perception, at the level of action, at the level of emotion and intellect. He says, the light wisdom streams forth. So when the light of wisdom streams forth, through all the gates. So you don't have to necessarily do anything to increase sattva. All you need to do is put in effort to remove tamas and rajas. Sattva will clarity will come. As you, that is why we say you need to put in effort. Not just going to a class or reading a book here and there or some lectures you hear. It's how you put in effort to deal with your tamas and rajas. To deal with your rajas, you need to give a direction to your rajas. You got to function in the spirit of Karma Yoga. You must do that. Only then the desires will drop, otherwise it won't drop. So, if you are putting in that effort, it's like, you know, you take a sabu and then apply it, you soak it, you leave it, and then you brush it, the dirt goes. So, the dirt that is accumulated needs to be removed, mala. When the mala is removed, you become more nirmala. More and more you become nirmala, the light shines through you. Clarity, wisdom shines through you. That is what is happening. Today your action is done with a lot of ego. So it's like driving a car with your handbrakes on. There's no skill there. So he says, when a person develops this clarity, the action becomes skillful. In fact, the topic of this year's lecture by Swamiji is intense work is rest. Then Swami Ramakrishna, this is a quotation by Swami Ramakrishna. Swami Ramakrishna was once asked, what is work? What is rest? He immediately said, intense work is rest. In other words, he himself gives the example of retina in some other context. The entire universe is impinging on your, the stimuli of the entire universe is impinging on your retina, but your retina is remaining cool. Even in a non-air conditioned room, your retina is relaxed. You say, oh my God, I have so much about. And you are not resting with it. Intense work, but internally rest. How to be dynamic, yet be calm. That clarity. If you have that strong intellect, you will be able to control your emotions. Your senses, for example. Otherwise, you will give it to your senses. When you give it to your senses, you suffer. There is a sattvic person, in the beginning itself, he stopped. Back in the 18th chapter, he will say, the contact-born enjoyments, the enjoyments born of sense contact, are in the beginning nectar. In the past person, a sattvic person sees this. In the modern business context, you know, you understand? All these big organizations, even smaller organizations. You have too much of
No.
You understand? It's like they give you very interesting. There are people who ask loan, they don't get it. There are people who do not want loan maybe, but the bank sometimes they have a target, I'm told. So they come, they approach, you also take. I'm not talking about those those people who have vicious intention not to pay. You get it, you get caught. You know, it's a vicious cycle. That clarity. So, it's difficult. You need this clarity. And many times what happens, when there are so many things available easily and things are going fine, you think you can do it. Suddenly when something goes wrong, then and we take a lot of things for granted. So that's why he is saying, when the sattva predominates, the wisdom shines forth, the clarity, the light shines forth through all the gates. It's like constantly being aware. So we say, hey, how is it possible? How is it possible in the sense it's not something that you get overnight. It's through a lot of effort. By eliminating the tamas and rajas, you get that. It's a lot of habit also, not just willpower. So you create your habits in such a way that helps you develop the willpower. So he says, it shines forth through all the gates. Sometimes it is attachment to your children. Sometimes it is attachment to the name, fame, power, position, family, status, money. Somehow there is some kind of attachment, something. And that, you know, it covers you. I'll get away with it. Okay, I'll get away with it. And then you get caught. Day in and day out we are reading the newspapers, what is happening. But still, tamas and rajas is so much that we don't see it. And when that removes, suddenly you see it. So you wonder how suddenly I am seeing the obstacle is gone. So you see. So that is why in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, Yaha Pashyati Sa Pashyati. Whoever sees it, sees it. Lot of people, even starting business, for example, simple thing like, there should be some knowledge about what you are starting. But think that anything you start, supposing I say I want to start class, that some knowledge, and then I must commit myself to do my daily study and reflection and come up with some practical examples. That is there. Some basic knowledge. Without anything, I want to start. There are people who started. I think I gave my example only here, that people in the Middle East, and they are retiring, they are about 60, 70 and they retire. The money that they earn, they are still feeling insecure. You think sometimes when they come back to India, they don't know whether with the interest they will be able to live that lifestyle. So they are not sure. So they think, okay, they will start something. And then, sometimes some people talk to us and people don't, because they come to our class and sometimes they discuss with us. The Bala was asking, he wants to go and start Pizza Hut. I told him, first of all, he's a vegetarian. Right? I told him, do you know anything about it? Secondly, for what reason? Absolutely no knowledge. You will start and money is gone. Whatever you want. But I know there are people who lost the money and they have gone back to the Middle East. Because they have some contact, somehow they go do some consultancy, this, that. Okay, they've come to that level. No clarity. Something, you know, some basic thing, I should have knowledge. It's like going and sitting in the car without knowing how to drive. And this is happening to all of us. But when the, you know, the tamas and rajas cover, we can't see it. Sometimes even when people explain to you in practice, Uttara couldn't see. sensing Duryodhana. And in the Shakespeare's Othello, if you see, he couldn't see, he married one of the best ones in every sense. In character, in beauty, in education, wealth, everything. He couldn't see it. He was a good guy. Covers you. When you when it covers, you are not able to decipher as to who is your benefactor, who is your malefactor. It's a problem.
Do you call this person tamas or rajas?
Both covers you. But both, when it both covers, you substitute, your clarity is gone. It's incredible. So you mistake the benefactor to be malefactor, and malefactor to be benefactor. So in the book, Fall of the Human Intellect, I think last but one chapter, Swamiji talks about the paucity of lack of intellect. You know, the paucity of intellect, what it does to you. He says the difference between freedom and licentiousness. People don't know. Health and ill health, don't know. And then many things, what ought to be feared, what ought not to be feared. You have clarity. At every level, richness and poverty. What is richness? What is poverty? You have clarity. No. So he says, then if you connect this here, he says he has that clarity.
So his actions are more relaxed. There is balance as well as dynamism. In life, either you find people who are extremely dynamic and no peace, no balance. Or there is balance, no dynamism. Peace, there is no dynamism. In this case, actions very dynamic but peaceful also.
He has time to answer his phone call. Not always be. A person whose life is more streamlined has time. A fellow whose mind is so restlessly running in all directions, he is not so organized, no time. When you are organized, you have more time. When you are not organized, you have more time. So that's what he is saying. Sattva predominates, it takes over. When the light of wisdom streams forth through
all the gates in this body, then it may be known that sattva in the wisdom. How do you know whether in my case sattva is high or not? Now in this, another thing that will happen, you have clarity underlined by humility.
The difference between tamas and sattva is that
in the case of tamas, you will say, I know, but there won't be humility. No openness. Like in that poem, Six Blind Men of Hindustan, who goes to see how an elephant looks like. Firstly, they are blind. But they go to see how an elephant looks like. And they are, you know, touching the elephant, different sides of the elephant they touch, and then they come to their own conclusion. And when they come to conclusion, very interesting. One fellow says, deny the fact who can. An elephant is very like a fact. He's touched upon the ears. And the ears are going on shaking, you know, what do you call that? Moving. And he says it's fan. One fellow touches the side of the elephant and says, it's like a wall, very like a wall, very like a spear, very like a this, very like a rope. Yeah, everyone, deny the fact who can. And one fellow says, even the blindest can see. Okay. See, you yourself are blind.
There are areas where we are not authority. A sharp person will not open his mouth. You know what, there, I don't know anything here. He is simply here. Whereas the tamasic fellow will talk. So that's what he is saying. Absolute clarity. Then it may be known that sattva indeed is predominant.
they show that somewhere the bomb has been set, time bomb, and the bomb squad is called. And the bomb squad fellows come, and they see yellow wire, red wire, most of the police they show. And which wire to cut? You know, you should not cut the wrong wire. They show that. It's exactly like that. What should be done, what should not be done.
That clarity we need, no, that's what is called as knowledge and renunciation, action and renunciation. What ought to be done, what ought not to be done? You need that clarity.
In the case of a sattvic person, he has that clarity. Which field to choose?
He doesn't go by others' opinions.
Goes by the facts, the truth. Next verse.
Lobha pravritti arambah. Lobha pravritti arambah. Karmanama samaspraha. Karmanama samaspraha. Rajas etani jayante. Rajas etani jayante. Vivrittam bharatarshabha. Vivrittam bharatarshabha. Lobha pravritti arambah. Karmanama samaspraha. Rajas etani jayante. Vivritte bharatarshabha.
The typical trait that tells you that you are Raja is Lobha. Lobha Pradaha. Now, he is absolutely greedy. First thing is Lobha Pradaha. So, Lobha Pravritti Arambha. He is interested in starting more and more actions. So restless, so greedy. He undertakes a lot of activities. Karmana asama. Restless undertaking of works, unrest, longing, craving, greedy. He craves, longing, more, more, more. Typical trait of a rajasic person. Vedanta is not saying do not aspire for more, but not at the cost of not enjoying your present. Do not tie your present happiness to future acquisitions. That's all Vedanta is saying.
If you tie your present happiness to future acquisition, you will never be happy. First be contented with what you have and then aspire for more.
But as a rajasic fellow, he's so greedy, he just wants to acquire. Many of these people do that mistakes. Even, you know, like, sometimes you acquire a wrong company, you're in big trouble, you go down. It's great. You don't see it, you just acquire. That's what I'm saying. Greed is totally great. It covers you. It's like jaundice. Or, for example, would be what is that? Cataract. You don't see. So, pravritti arambha. He wants to start activities. In many places, we get calls, right? In, involved in this work, we get calls, you would like to start a club, you would like to start a club. And I tell them, why don't you join there, why don't you join the club, it's already going on. They come up with some excuse or the other. Then, obviously there is, you know, we are also busy with other clubs and other work also. So then, sometimes we say no, sometimes we start with time permits. But many times we have seen, people are interested in starting, but to see through it, to go through it fully as a commitment, very few. That is something that you need to see through. If the person is genuine, then you start. Otherwise, if there is something, you need to see. Arambha is easy.
isn't it? Even here we started, now we have come to 14 chapters, taken as a wife. Aramba is easy. To go through tackling the challenges that arise from within and without, to fulfill that commitment, it's a different thing. So in the case of a narcissistic person, he's starting. But before he completes that, he goes to the next. Because he wants to start from more. A sensible thing would be to kind of make it self-sufficient. When you start another, what is the hurry? And that's also most likely, if possible, in the same area that you know and that you are already engaged in. And there are some unconnected businesses they might do. And they are able to balance their time. The personal life goes for a toss, you know, a lot of things happen. Just establish and go to the next. You should be able to give the time and attention. See, success is the fruit that you see which has been nourished by time and attention. Please understand. We only see the fruit, but it has been nourished by a lot of time and attention. The commitment. Lot of effort goes in it. Nobody can become successful in any field without time and attention. Lot of effort there. Corporates, even at the corporate level, so much of sweat and toil. At any level, even individually, lot of struggle. So, when the greed, once it comes, the mind goes in all directions. Right? Simply understand this. In the third chapter we studied this, so I'm just trying to tell you, to connect. When he talks about Karma Yoga, he says, in this, the mind is single-pointed. One focus. In the case of a karma, the mind is multifaceted. It goes in all directions. There is no direction given by the Buddha. So in the case of a Raja, the Buddha is not giving direction. In the case of Sattva, Buddha is giving direction. In the case of Rajas, the Buddha has been overpowered by intellect. Finished. Poem Pond. You remember that poem Pond we studied? We quoted it between, I think I read through that poem once. There was a pond around which the ducklings used to play. And a chick befriended the ducklings. The mother bird had cautioned the chick, you are okay to play with the ducklings when they are on the ground. But when they enter the pond and swim, you don't enter. Why the duckling, why the chick cannot swim? Because it doesn't have webbed feet. The ducklings have webbed feet. Chick doesn't have webbed feet. Now, the chick is playing with the duckling, and the ducklings, as and when they get little bored or things start to show off, they just enter the pond, they put the head inside, the tail inside, and then they, you know, they just enjoy seeing this. The chick is developing this desire to get into the water. At that time, the chick is reasoning, chicken intellect. You know, this is not like, it is reasoning. Why did my mother tell not to enter? And then, the interesting thing in the poem, first thing the chick, when it reasons, the point it considers is the feet. Says, my feet, it can't be. My this, my that, it can't be. Then finally, my beaks are pointed, their beaks are round. Is that any reason why I should be round? And then it says, I am really, remarkably fond of water. Huh? I am really, remarkably fond of children. So to set up some business for my children, I acquire some business. I am really, remarkably fond of my son-in-law, sometimes who is a very lazy fellow. Because of that guy, I might have to buy something. Greed, attachment, you know. you are really remarkably, it is greed. It's like the chip says, I am really remarkably fond of water. And it enters the water. And it starts drowning. It tries more. The more that she tries, the more she drowns. But after some time, the chick's body is floating. The ducks are packing. Poet says, I can't tell you what they were talking about. The poor little chick who did not mind the mother's passion. So the mother's passion is nothing but the scripture's passion. Scripture's passion. First, ask yourself, do I know, do I not know? I don't know. I mean, if there is some legal issue, they understand better the legal rules, I have to go to them. If there is some medical issue, I have to go to them, medical illuminaries. No, I can't deal with it. It's interesting, you know, how just recently a class member who's been attending for so many years, he just came back from the US and he's been having this headache for some 15-20 days. It's been some unbearable headache. Any tablet, anything he takes, nothing is helping him. He went to many doctors, they said that he was just anxious. Don't worry, take this tablet, he'll be alright. After 20 days, he tried, nothing was happening, 3 weeks. So, he was so concerned. One of the doctors said, looks like you're anxious, but still, to eliminate the possibility, why not we take a MRI? No, I didn't want to tell you that before. Try. It's okay. You see, that's how you really eliminate this possibility. If there would be something wrong with their brain or something. He said, okay, I also want to go through because it's unbearable to you. When they did that, they found that there is liquid accumulation between brain and skull. And immediately within 2 days, he was hospitalized in the polo and then he's gone through the operation. Now he's taking rest. He could be recovering. Now, you have to surrender to them. If you don't know, first thing you need to find out, do I know? You don't know. You, okay, supposing you ask me, how do you know that they know? Also, there are different levels of legal studies and doctors. Mm-hmm. Down to 3, and finally, somewhere you have to take a decision and surrender. Then after 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, some reliable sources, COS, some confidence you build and then you surrender. Somewhere. So that greed covers your thinking. That is the typical sign that you are predominated by. So, by studying all this, what happens? Why do we say we need to study all this? By studying and giving a thought over it, when the greed comes, you see. Then of course, what you have to do is you have to deal with it. Like we said, first step is okay. Even if somebody is giving you loan, doesn't mean you have to take it. Let me establish it. Do I have the capacity to handle both? Have I established my forces in such a way that I can deal with it? No. And your expenses go high and you do not know how to handle. Then you default, then the stress comes. Typical because of default. There is some hurry. Yeah? What is the hurry? So there is greed, is a typical sign of rajas. Greed, activity, undertaking of works. Multitasking. There is this company called this Glim. They manufacture these chimneys and kitchen. Chimneys, grinders. G-L-E-N-M. Glim. They call me for a talk at an annual event, so 1 hour talk, management through Gita. There one gentleman asked a question after the class about multitasking. That's a significant person. They can't 10 things at the same time. So I was explaining to them, you know, subconscious actions which are mechanical in nature, which is done by the subconscious brain, multitasking is possible. You see, but wherever the conscious mind is involved, you can't do multitasking. Do you understand?
No, you say that's the difference between a woman's mind and a man's mind. Yeah, that's what, because I mean, that's just actually different. Like when I was working at work, when we were having a discussion, my husband and I were together. I mean, they're talking about one point, we've discussed that, and I've already reached the other point, now what is that? And then my husband shouts at me, why can't you concentrate on one point? But according to me, I've finished that point and I've reached another point. Now what is that?
Genuinely finished that point and moved, it's okay.
I feel I've moved.
Otherwise, it's back of conversation.
No, I feel I've finished that point.
It's not a question of you feeling. Supposing we both are having a conversation. And it's like, you can't, like you are having a conversation with me around a particular point. So you say, okay, I have understood this. Shall we move to the next? Then you yourself move. Then it's your mind presently going around. Probably that's what your husband meant. Anyway, see, what I told them was, I'm trying to give an example. Can you read this book and copy from the other book also? There is an undivided attention required here. So something like this. There are certain actions like you can talk on the phone and eat also. You are not saying it's good, but you can do such actions where your conscious brain is not to be used that much. The subconscious brain is more than enough. There are multiple actions you can do, but wherever the conscious attention is needed, you can only do one action at a time. Now when we say you can do multiple actions there, what we do is, like if you see this some of the chefs and all these people, when they show this Master Chef program and all that, they prepare everything. They put the water in the stove, they keep it in the sim, and they know the time is 3 minutes. Then now it doesn't require attention. Right? Now they are doing the cutting and not work. And then they put it in that, then there is some attention, then they put it in the sim again, they do something. It's exactly like that, you can do multiple actions. But when one particular action is being executed, which requires conscious attention, you pay attention to that. Whether it is 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 1 hour, that you decide. Once you've done that, then move to the next. And you can come back. While it is put on the, what mode is that?
Auto
mode. You know, after you do that, you put it in auto mode and go to the next. Then you have to come back again once the auto mode needs to be released and you attend. This way you can do. But simultaneously, if you do the 10 actions which require conscious attention,
you are going to make a mess of it.
It's basically your mind, which is not controlled by intellect, is not able to stay in one action. It's asking you to move into 25 things. Yes, one may, like you said, one may have certain better capacity to absorb due to his inner development or even practice over a long period of time. But first pay attention to it, finish it and move. Otherwise, you are going with your mind going in all directions and you are also going. So why I am saying this, greed takes your mind into various things. I want to prove that I can do it. This is exactly what is happening. People are driving and texting. Meaning a lot of accidents. Driving and talking on the phone, that itself is wrong. And that's why if you have hands-free, even then I would say it's not that great. But still, at least that is different. You still can focus. But driving and texting, both require attention. You stop the car and text, or you drive. They sit it in. They put themselves and others into risk. So, this greed is nothing but mind out of control by the intellect. Not controlled by the intellect. It goes in all directions. So you go into this and that and you make a mess of it. It appears as if you are doing 25 things, but no productivity. That's what he's saying. Next.
अप्रकाशो प्रवृत्तिश्च अप्रकाशो प्रवृत्तिश्च प्रमादो मोह एव च प्रमादो मोह एव च तमस्येतानि जायन्ते तमस्येतानि जायन्ते विवृत्ते कुरु नन्दन अप्रकाशो प्रवृत्तिश्च प्रमादो मोह एव च तमस्येतानि जायन्ते विवृत्ते कुरु नन्दन
Darkness, meaning ignorance, aprakasha. There's so much of mud or sand put on fire. There's no prakasha. Ignorance covering, inertness, inactivity, laziness, heedless to consequence. There is no higher purpose and also delusion, completely deluded. The later chapter is going to talk about, in the 7th, the 18th chapter, we talk about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic intellect. Tamasic intellect typically is a perverted intellect.
Understands attachment as love, love as attachment.
Delusion, complete delusion. Benefactor as malefactor, malefactor as benefactor. Iago was taken to be benefactor by Uttaru. You will take it like it's a delusion. Completely ulta. You will not be able to see that you are in it. That is the danger. Tamas is the problem. So he says, he is totally also deluded, delusion. There arises when tamas predominates.
O Kuru Nandana,
the joy of the Kuru clan. Like Arjuna, you know, he is deluded in the beginning. It took him time to realize that he is deluded. He doesn't know to ask Krishna. But he is concluded. Vasishthudi, he is telling Krishna also, better for you also, you were also about to commit a mistake, better for you and me to run away from you. So this is the beginning chapters, he says this. That is the delusion. Can't see for yourself. Like Swamiji keeps saying, to the extent you are mad, you don't know that you are mad. Statement you understand, sometimes you cannot have proper love. You cannot live your life properly. I mean, today I am thinking, I am fine. How much of madness I have to that extent, I won't be seeing that I am mad. Mad fellow doesn't know that he is mad. He is fine, he is cool. He is talking to himself and moving around on the road. We are seeing him, maybe some people are laughing at him. He doesn't know. A madman doesn't know that he is mad. So that is the kind of nature that is. Where there is no doubt, you become extremely sure to be careful. I know, I'm telling you. So there is darkness, inertness, heedlessness. So he says, in this, if you see these verses, sattva arises when tamas and rajas deceive. Then he says that rajas and tamas predominate, this arises. Very interesting. You see here, Swamiji has quoted that in the book, 841 page. 11, 12, 13 present an interesting construction of thought. When the light of wisdom streams forth, sattva is predominant. When rajas is predominant, greed, etc. arises.
with tamas is predominant, darkness, etc., arises. He doesn't say when sattva is predominant, this arises. It is when light of wisdom streams forth, then sattva arises. In other words, when you remove tamas and rajas, this sattva increases.
What
sort of person is it if you have equally amounts of rajas and tamas?
It can't be. They have to be one more.
I can argue theoretically 30-30-40, 35-35-30. What kind of person is what? He will be whenever sattva predominates, I mean whenever rajas predominates, he will be rajas. Now, the thing is, what he is trying to say here is, when rajas predominates, this arises, greed. When tamas predominates, ignorance. When, he should say, when sattva predominates, clarity should arise. He says, when clarity is arising, then understand that sattva is predominating over rajas and tamas. Which means what? Rajas and tamas is receding. So he is trying to tell us, start your effort in removing the rajas and tamas. That is your thing. It doesn't matter how long I remained in tamas, so far I didn't do anything. It doesn't matter. Now you start. As much as possible, you keep removing. Within your capacity, whatever you can. So I said, whatever dirt you see, you clean that. Forget about all dirt you are not seeing. Why are you worried about that? Start acting on your tamas and rajas. Sattva will slowly increase. You will become prakasha. So that's what he's saying. The light of wisdom streams forth, sattva is predominant. When rajas is predominant, greed arises. Tamas predominant, darkness arises. So we have to deal with this tamas and you inject action where there is tamas and you inject direction to your actions. Thus, directed actions will slowly take you away from this. Of course, along with that, you got to do your gaining in of knowledge and all that goes without saying. But you got to do this. You have to sit down and keep worrying, how do I deal with it, how do I deal with it. You will go more into tamas. A lot of people, they love to discuss. This is very good to discuss. Nothing will grow without discussing. How do I get out of my tamas? How do I do this? I want an answer. I am not convinced. You are increasing your tamas even more. Yes, to some extent, that's why from Vivek Malagar fed up and said, go play football. Got fed up. He is from Bengal. And those days, you know, they were given to cricket also. Football and cricket. But those days, more football. They said, go play football. And I captured too much of this philosophy, this and that. Just get out and do your work. Then you see how much ego comes up. A simple task, and you are able to execute, keeping your cooperative endeavor. With all your differences, you should be able to gel as a team. So start your action and then give a direction to your actions.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamivavashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Sakalam parasmai Narayana eti samarpayami.